Good evening, everyone. In the next hour, I'm going to speak about two or three points to give you some ideas to think about. Before you leave, please take one of each of the CDs that I bought you here. It's free of charge. Watch them. It will help you very much in your life. Many of you, from what I understood, are already traditional, meaning you believe in God. I don't have to convince you there is a God. He made the world, He created us, He gave us life. That's very important. It's a good point to start from, because sometimes I go to places, it takes 2 hours just to prove to the people there is a creator to the world, even though it sounds silly, because no one will ever claim that this spoon was made by itself. Everybody knows somebody made it, because we look at the shape and the design and we know it can never be by itself. Someone made it. And everybody will agree with me. There's not going to be one person in the world that will claim that this spoon was made by itself, even though it's only one material. But to claim the whole world and the brains and the animals and the people and the galaxies and the trees and the fruit, everything was made by itself, that's no problem. But to claim this was made by itself, of course, no problem. It cannot be. But the whole world, yes, it was made by itself. What's the difference? To admit that the spoon has a creator does not cost me anything. I don't have to change. I don't have to have guilty feelings. I don't have any of that. What's the big deal? I'll admit. To say the table was made by someone, I admit. To say the glass that was made by someone, I admit. To say the world was made by someone, I refuse to admit. Why? What's the difference? Because that would lead me to the next step. If I will say to the rabbi, you're right, somebody made the world, right away will ask me for what? Nothing was ever made for nothing. Everything was ever made was made for a purpose. Right? This glass. It was made like this, it was made small, it was made especially for espresso coffee. It was made, someone designed it for espresso coffee. If you put regular coffee in such a small glass, people would laugh at you. What is this? It's a sample? Right? One Israeli guy came from Israel to New York for the first time. Now in Israel, everyone drink Turkish coffee. Not like the American coffee, water with brown color. Over there, it's Turkish coffee. So he came to a restaurant with his friend, two Moroccan Jews, and he said to the waiter, you have a Turkish coffee? No, we have a filter coffee. So he said, nah, it's not for you. He said, but they have espresso. It's a little bit similar. So he said, okay, so bring that. So he gave him this one, like this, small. So the Israeli guy test. So very good, like this I want. He thought it's a sample. You know, he never saw they give such little glass, all right? So everything was made for a design. Everything was made with a design. And the design is based on the purpose, right? The Creator made us in a certain way because He wants from us certain things. For instance, He made us able to have children. We can give life to children. A man and a woman, they get together and they bring new people to the world. So He gave us divine power, divine skills to be able to create life. Nobody else can create life. Wood cannot create life. Things in the world cannot, rocks cannot create life. People can create life. Animals can create life. But people can create life, not just physical life, like animals, they can create spiritual life, which is 100% divine. So I will skip that part. I'm not here to prove to you. If you watch my film, Torah and Science, you have all the steps you need. 1, 2, 3, from A to Z. Now we'll skip some. We'll go to the second level. The second level, after we understand the world has a creator, and He put us here, the Jewish people came to the world one day and they say, we received a book, a manual, from the creator of the world. He gave us a book in a public event. Millions of people were standing there and they heard God and Moshe speaking in front of millions of witnesses. Then Moshe came with a book. This is the Torah we have. God gave it. We got it. Torah in Hebrew means instruction. Torah mi leshon orah. It's instructions how to live. Once we got it, it started to go from father to son, 3,300 years until today. Now I would like to ask you a few questions. Question number one. After the Torah was given in a public event, and it's written inside the Torah, this Torah will never ever be changed even by one letter. It's always, always will be relevant. It will never be obsolete. It will never be changed. And there is no limit to the existence of the Torah. There are verses in the Torah that God said to the Jewish people, this Torah that I'm giving you today will be always the same Torah until the end of time in this world. Meaning, now when we don't have cars, this is the Torah. Now when we have cars, this is the Torah. Now when we don't have electric and electronic, this is the Torah. Now we have electric, the same Torah. Everything stays the same. Same Shabbat, same modesty laws, same kosher food laws, same everything. Nothing is allowed to be changed. This is written clearly many times in the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu, before he died, in Sefer Dvarim, he gave a one-man speech. This is the entire of Sefer Dvarim, Deuteronomy. What did he say over there? Be very careful that you never forget the event that you saw me all speaking to God in front of you. You heard his voice speaking to you from the Father in a mountain, from the fire in a mountain. All of you saw that I received the Torah and spoke to God in front of your own eyes. I want to ask you a question. Who can tell me how we know 1,000,000% that it really happened? Maybe somebody made it up. How do we know it really happened? How do we know that God spoke to Moshe in front of millions of people? Maybe somebody made it up.
Plenty of ways. Plenty of ways.
Give me one good way.
Natural phenomena, by definition, occur more than once.
Right.
Never in history, aside from the Jewish event, has any other nation been able to claim that millions of people witnessed the same event and all came away with the same message.
You have a very good point. It's true that 80,000 religions and cults that came after Judaism, include Islam and Christianity, always for some reason started with one individual. Mary, she had a dream. Muhammad was alone in a desert. Krishna was alone. Buddha was alone when he saw the light. Everyone was alone. No one had even one witness to his story. Everybody came out of nowhere and told us a story. God came to me and gave me this book. I saw the light. I had an enlightenment. All these stories never backed up by any individual. It was one person telling a story. You want to believe it, fine. You don't want to believe it, fine. Today, those stories turn into massive religions. Islam, 1.7 billion people. Christianity, 2 billion people. Buddhism, hundreds of millions. Hinduism, hundreds of millions. Those religions became massive. How many Jews you have in the world? 13.2 million Jews only. That's it. Smallest nation in the world. But the difference between us and them, although everyone ran after us to destroy us and to destroy our Torah, we survived. All of them died. All of them gone. And we have the same Torah all over the world. If you go to Poland, same Torah. You go to Israel, same Torah. You go to Syria, same Torah. You go to Egypt, same Torah. You go to Bukhara, same Torah. You go to Russia, everything the same. Everywhere you go, the Jews have the same book. The Romans wanted to destroy us, they are gone. The Babylonians, they are gone. They're gone from the world. The Philistines, they are gone. The Persians of the Hashverosh and Aman, they are gone from the world. All the empires that came to, the Greeks, they came to attack us, to destroy us, they're all gone. The Jews remained, defeated everyone. Nobody could move 1 inch from the Torah, left or right, or delete one letter from the Torah. The Torah promised to the Jewish people, and this is what you say, the Torah promised inside the book, nobody ever would be able to claim that I had a revelation to him or gave him anything, no one will ever claim that in a group. There will never be a group of people that claim that me, God, had a communication with them. Never, ever. It never happened, and it will never happen. I will never let it happen. To write such a thing in a book and give it to a group of people with a promise like this, that's a very big risk. Because any time later on in history, 5-10 people gather together and they make a lie and they come and they say, hey, dear world, we just had a revelation. This is our friend Isaac. A light came, something came and put a book in his hand. And we all saw it. And this is a new religion and he's a new prophet. If something like this would happen in the world, this would be the first mistake in our Torah. Because our Torah committed, made a promise that something like this will never happen. Why? I will never let it happen. I am the real God. I will never let something like this happen. One individual that comes and tells a story, I don't care. They can come as much as they want. Why? There's no witnesses. The rule is you need minimum 2 witnesses to back up a story to be able to accept it. Al pi shnei edim yakum davar. No witnesses, you're not allowed to accept the story. Not in court, nowhere. You're not allowed to believe. He's telling you a story. How do you know it's real? You're going to change your whole life based on a story of one individual? But when God spoke to Moshe, Moshe said to him, I'm not going to Egypt to take them out. They won't believe me that you spoke to me. They will say that I'm making it up. It's written in the Torah. And what did God answer him? They're right. Why should I believe in you? They will only believe in you after I will bring you to the mountain and I will speak to you and they will hear, and after that they will believe in you for eternity. This is what's written in the Torah. The only time they will believe in you is after they hear that I speak to you and not to them. From this moment on, everyone in the world will believe in you. And that's exactly what happened. Now let's go to the next level. The next level, since we know the Torah never changed. Every one of you here understand that the concept that the Torah said to the Jews, that Hashem put the soul in a body and we have to live 70, 80, 90 years, sometimes 40, sometimes 20, everyone according to how much Hashem wants him to live. And once the soul is in a body, we are being tested. We are in the middle of a test. Every minute of our life is a test. When you walk on the street is a test. When you eat is a test. When you are with your wife is a test. When you work with your customer is a test. When Shabbat comes is a very big test. Every second of our life is a test. Everyone in this room understand it or they need a proof for it? I just want to know what to speak more and what to speak less about. Everybody here understand that every second you are recorded, every word that come out of your mouth is being recorded, and when we die, we're all going to stand for 1 year trial in a court of heaven, and everything we did, for good or for bad, will all be displayed in public, and everybody will see every good things that we did and every bad thing that we tried to hide. Sof davar hakol nishma, everything will be heard in the end. Et ha'elokim yerah ve'et mitzvotav shmor, ki ze kol ha'adam. Fear God, keep His commandments, because that's what the human being is all about. Nothing else. Everything else that you have, it's animals has it also. You eat, animals eat. You have relation, animals have it. You have a female, animals have it. You have a place to live, animals have it. You enjoy sport, animals enjoy it. You fight, animals fight. Everything you have, animals have. There's one thing the animals do not have. What is it? Divine soul. And the animals do not go on trial when they die for murdering other animals. Animals are not guilty of anything. No one ever prosecuted a lion in history. No one ever attacked any animal in a court of law with claims that they are criminals. Everybody understand animals live by instinct, by natural law. They don't have other choices. They want to see food, they attack. They see snake, see something, and a rat, he attack. Monkey see another monkey, they jump together on the trees. Animals behave in certain way and they will always behave like that. Always. You have a hungry lion, you put a piece of meat in front of him, there's no such thing that he will not eat. He will always attack. You cannot tell the lion, wait 10 minutes, we want to take pictures. After that you eat. Why? The lion does not understand. He see food, I'm hungry, I must eat. But we are different than the animals. We can choose to do good, we can choose to do bad, we can hold ourselves, we can fight our evil inclination. Animals don't have this right. They don't have free will. That's why they don't get reward and they don't get punished. But we the people, Jews and non-Jews, are put in this world for a test. The test of the non-Jews is much, much smaller. The reward is smaller. The Jews have a much bigger test, but the reward is much bigger. According to how the effort is, that's how the reward is. Everything that I said so far, you have any doubt about it, please tell me, and I will prove it to you. Can you tell me if you agree or disagree with what I say? Don't be embarrassed, please. Tell me, you can ask me questions. This is the whole point that we gather here tonight. Any questions? Everybody understand? Excuse my arrogance. I don't believe even one of you here in the room. You're all lying. All of you lying. How do I know you're lying? I just met you for 2 minutes before the lectures. How do I know you're all lying? Very, very simple. If you were not lying, meaning you were honest, all of you would be extremely religious. None of you would drive on Shabbat. None of you would smoke on Shabbat. None of you would play on the phone on Shabbat. None of your wives would go with open sleeves and open chest and or mini skirts. None of you would cheat the customers in the business. None of you would speak Lashon Hara. None of you would eat non-kosher or bring non-kosher into the house from the Chinese restaurant. None of you would do all of that. You would be 100% strictly living according to the book of God. Why? You just admitted that you understand that there's an eye who watch over you. You are being recorded. Video and audio and everything that you are doing, you eventually will be judged for good or for bad. So if you agree with me, please explain to me the contradiction in your life. Where does it come from? I know if my boss in a work would tell me, be careful, don't steal from the cash register, there's a camera here, and you are recorded and the FBI is across the street. So after I saw the camera, and after he demonstrated to me that the camera does record, and he showed me in his office that in his house he see everything I do, even if I want to steal, I can't, right? Why? Because if I will, I will end up in jail for a few years. This $100 that you may steal from the register would cause you to see 2 years in prison. No one would do it. Why? Not because it's the right thing to do.
Because we see it. We see.
We see.
Example.
Oh, all right. So because you see. Now what happened if the boss, if you didn't see, the boss just told you. You are being recorded. It doesn't show you. There's a candy camera here somewhere. I'm recording you and I'm listening to everything you say in the store. And in the end, if you do something against the rules of the store, you're going to pay the price. And he did not prove it to you, he just told you. Would you dare to do it or no?
Probably not.
Why? Because you're smart. Smart person wouldn't take the risk. The Torah is much more convincing than someone told you. Let me explain. The boss can be bluffing. He doesn't want you to steal, so he doesn't have a camera, but he doesn't want you to know it. He said to me, to you, you see, everywhere here, what, it could be one or two cameras watching you. So I'm warning you, do not do the wrong thing. Maybe yes, maybe not. It's 50-50. Maybe he's right, maybe he's lying. On a 50% chance that he's right, we won't dare to break the laws of the store. Maybe he's right. Maybe yes, maybe not. Now I want to ask you a question. The Torah that the Jews got in Mount Sinai, can it be proven scientifically 100% that is the word of God and everything that I said so far can be proven 100%, yes or no? Or it will always remain a matter of faith? You want to believe, believe. You don't want to believe, it's up to you. Can the Torah be proven scientifically that is 100% from the creator of the world? And he is watching us right now. Can it be proven scientifically Or it's just a matter of emuna, faith? He say matter of emuna. Who agree with him? Raise his hand. Who think it's a matter of emuna? Emuna means faith. You want to believe? Believe.
Mix of both.
It cannot be mix of both. Why? If it's yediyah, if it's knowledge, it's no emuna. You don't need to believe in something you know, right? If I know it's a spoon, if I will tell you right now, I believe this is a spoon, what would you say? I'm not normal. What do you mean you believe it's a spoon? You either know it's a spoon or you don't know, right? If a person say, I know there is a God, but I also believe there is a God. You have to make up your mind, buddy. You either believe, meaning, if you believe 70%, you have 30% doubt. You believe 50%, you have 50% doubt. If you use the word, I know there is a God, that's it. It's not open for faith or emuna. It's either you know or you don't know.
You know it's going to rain tomorrow?
I don't know. I don't know if it's going to rain tomorrow. I don't know for sure.
It's not 100% knowledge, but there's gaps, and you have to have faith to fill the gaps. So you have something to
So work. You agree with it. You actually say it's high level of faith, but there's still a doubt. That's what you say. I accept. I just want to see more or less what's the opinions over here. Who agree with him that it's a high level of faith? Who here in this room knows that it's a matter of a scientific proof, meaning that it's possible 100% to prove that our Torah is the only book in the world that was given by the creator of the world? It is the same one we got. It never ever changed. And everything in the book apply until this moment. Who knows 100% without any doubt that that's the case? Who knows 100%? So the fact that none of you raise your hand means all of you have doubts. I want to understand. Everybody here knows 100% the Torah is divine.
99.9.
I'm gonna go one by one. From 0 to 100%. From 0 to 100%, tell me where you stand. If you say 100%, that means you know for sure. Like you know this is your wife. Like you know now it's midnight in Queens. Knowledge that you know that this is a white tablecloth. You know. It's not a matter of faith. Tell me please.
Divine
means that it was given by the creator of the world. Not human being wrote it. It's not a matter you have to believe. You have to know 100%. From 0 to 100, how would you rate yourself? 50. What do you say? 0 to 100. 50. What do you say? 100? 100. 100. 100, huh? 100?
95.
Skip it. 100. So all the people that say 100, you can just go home, read the Torah, and work on being better. You don't need this lecture. Those who say 95 or 50, they need this lecture, urgent. The answer, Rabotai, we're very lucky. We, the Jewish people, are very lucky. Why are we very lucky? We are the only nation that has a book that it takes maximum 20 minutes to prove that it can never be written by a human being. Only the one that created the world was able to write it. It takes maximum 20 minutes. And that's why I came here tonight. After I prove to you that the Torah is 100% the word of God, I will leave with one request. Please read it and follow it for your own good. You're not doing anyone a favor. You're earning. One day the check will be given to you. You will earn life of eternity in the highest level of pleasure to the soul. If you choose to ignore the rules, you will deal with the consequences. You want to know what the consequences are? I was warned not to tell you. Then maybe you're too sensitive, so I won't tell you. I will respect the request. But I will urge you to go and read the Torah. Don't you want to know what's going to be your end, for good or for bad? But the only way you will know what's going to be your end is first if I prove to you the Torah is from God. If I prove to you, then you have to be a fool to ignore my request. If I was unable to prove to you, no. I failed in my mission. Then you can do whatever you want. Fair deal or no?
Fair.
Fair or no?
Fair.
Okay. The Torah requests from the Jews, V'yadata ayom, V'ashevotai levavecha, ki Hashem hu ha'elokim. You should know. One knowledge means to know, ladat, yediya means 100%. You should know I'm your God. You should know I created you. You should know I am the God that took you out of Egypt. You should know I am the God who gave you houses full of everything you need. Wells that you did not dig. Gold and silver that you did not earn. Don't ever forget me that everything that you have I gave you. You should know I am the God that helped you to win against your enemies. You should know I am the God who fight the wars for you. So there are maybe, from the top of my head, at least 30 psukim, 30 verses in the Torah that demand from a Jew to know means 100%, that I am your God. I created the world. I'm giving you life. Everything you have, you got from me. I am the God that give life. I am the God that kill. I am the God that will reward the righteous people to the future to come. I am the God that will punish the wicked people who ignore my instruction for the future to come. I am the God. All the nations should know the hand of God. There are many, many verses. None of them speak about believing in God. You should believe I'm your God. You should believe there is a God. None of them say believe. Believing means not knowing in science. When a scientist say, we believe that in 40 years, the earth and the moon will have an accident. We believe. Then we say, okay, it doesn't have to be, because they're not sure, they believe. But if the scientists say, we know 100%, there's no question, people will panic. What do you mean? It's the end of the world? Yes, we know 100%. Knowledge is one thing. Faith, believing, it's something totally different. The Torah doesn't say to the people, believe in me. The Torah only speak in, you should know I'm your God. Knowledge, 100%. Now I want to ask you a question. With the five senses that we have, can we prove God exists? Can we smell Him? Can we touch Him? Can we see Him? Can we taste Him? Can we hear Him? No. But He say, you must know I exist. You must know I'm watching you. Ein roa ve'ozen shomat ve'chol ma'asecha ba'sefer nichtavim. 100% every minute I'm watching you and I'm recording you. Eretz Israel, the Holy Land. Eretz asher enei Hashem Elokecha ba mireshit ha'shana v'ad acharit ha'shana. What's special about Eretz Israel, the Holy Land? It's a land that the eyes of your God is focused on it from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. Why? It's precious. Like a woman that her husband got her a ruby or a diamond. Every 2 minutes she opened her jewelry box. Why? From excitement. If he bought her a little ring in a flea market for $5, she puts it in a box. Next time she opens it, it's in her next life. Why? Waste of time. But if it's a 10 carat ruby, wow. Tried it all day, like this, the mirror, picture, selfie, right? When you have something precious next to you, right, the way you want to have selfie with that, right? Can I take a picture with you? People stop, okay, picture, everywhere, why? I want to have this picture, but if it's somebody you hate, you want to have selfie with him? You don't want, why? It's not precious to you. Now, how do we know the Torah is divine? First, if Moshe came to the Jewish people, do you think he would be able to sell him a story that God gave him this book and they open now the Torah and they read now live. They read in the Torah that few minutes ago, all of them heard the voice of God speaking to Moshe and all of them heard the voice of God. Can I come to all of you here tonight and say to you, I'm the new prophet, God gave me a book. You are the actors in the book. Please read my book and obey the rules. So he takes the book, he opens it, and he reads that 5 minutes ago he heard me speaking to God in the book that I just gave him. He just read that he witnessed me speaking to God an hour ago. If it didn't happen, he would tell me, excuse me, Rabbi, with all due respect, you're not normal. You're hallucinating. I'm here for 2 days. I didn't hear a word between you and God. I don't know what you're talking about. He would tell me, skip me. Go to the next one. And he would tell me, what are you talking about? I'm also here, and I didn't hear you speaking to God. Now, all of you, would agree to obey the rules in my book after you saw such a lie in my book? If my book claimed that all of you heard the voice of God making me the prophet, and you all know it's a lie, you did not hear the voice of God, and the book is saying something that never happened, would you agree to follow a book that you know right away has mistakes in it? Can God make such mistakes in a book? God making mistakes in a book, he doesn't know what happened an hour ago? If I'm giving you a book from God, and it's written that all of you heard his voice, and you did not hear his voice, would you agree to follow such a book? Would you agree to keep Shabbat? Will you agree to pay $1,000 for tefillin and start putting it every day? Would you agree in a heat to wear long dresses? Would you agree to pay double on your food because it's kosher? Will you agree to pay 10 times more for school for your children because it's a yeshiva? Will you agree to eat matzah for 8 days or for 7 days? Would you agree all these things? Of course not. You will tell me, get out of here. You're not normal. You have 1 minute to leave. Or we force you to leave. Why? Because you're a liar. Why am I a liar? You just gave us a book in the name of God, right? And it says over there that we all heard you speaking to God, and it's a lie. It's also say here that he took us out of Japan and he brought us to Queens. But we were never in Japan. We never been in Japan. It also say here that we had wars with people on the way and we defeated all of them, but it never happened. It also say here that he gives us bread falling from heaven every day, and we eat it every day, but it never happened. It also said that we were in Japan, every Japanese firstborn fell and died one day, but it never happened. It also said that while we were in Japan, all the rivers became blood, but it never happened. Do I have to continue? Right there, 100 miracles that happened to you, and I'm asking you to confirm it. If you confirm it, it means it happens to you. You know what happened to you. If you do not confirm it, the religion is over before it started. You understand the logical point here or no? If the entire nation of Israel, when they got the Torah from Moshe, and they see their names is inside the Torah, Korach is standing over there, he sees his name is in the Torah. Yitro, he sees his name in the Torah. Tzipora, the wife of Moshe, she sees her name in the Torah. Levi, the Shvatim, their sons, their grandsons, their names are all in the Torah. Nachshon, Aaron, everyone, their names is in the Torah. So all these people that they read about themselves, I just gave you a book from God, Itzik, Avner, Moshe, Yaakov, they're all mentioned in the Torah. All the things that happened to you in the last year. If one detail was not precise, you would raise your hand, excuse me, Moshe, how can God make such foolish mistake? He said that we were in Egypt slaves. We were never slaves in Egypt. He said that he took us out of Egypt and he split the Red Sea for us. It never happened. He said that he's giving us bread from heaven. Where? Where is this bread? He said all these things that it's written that it happened to us, we don't confirm it because it never happened. Leave us alone, you and your stupid book, get out of here and give us a break. That's how it would end. What other reason millions of people have to change their lifestyle completely? Completely. Now they have to eat only kosher. Many people had to divorce their aunt. Because if you married to your father's sister, now you just found out you have to get divorced. But you have 10 children and you love your family. But you just found out that it's against the law of the Torah. You must get divorced. Many people were eating whatever they see. Now they just found out they cannot eat it. Many people wanted to do all kinds of things. They just found out they cannot do it. But they all agree with the Torah that God gave it to Moshe. Because they all saw it. Don't get me wrong. They did not like Moshe. They fought him very much, as you can see. They gave him hard time, demonstration, they rebelled against him, they suspected him. They gave him hell, 40 years of hell yet with them. It's, as is written in the Torah, he said to God, what else I have to do for them that they appreciate me? Meaning, he was mamash suffering from them. They did everything wrong against him, but one thing they never did. They'll never deny the fact that God gave them the Torah. Because they all witnessed it. And they started to keep Shabbat. And there was one Mechalel Shabbat named Tzlofchad. They put him to death right away. Why? Because Moshe asked Hashem what to do. And Hashem said, Mechalel Shabbat must be put to death. And right away, they killed him. It's written in the Torah. Moshe didn't know what to do. He asked God what to do. He locked him in. What should we do with him? He broke the covenant. Hashem said, I want everybody to see what happened to him. All these things are written inside the Torah. Now let me give you another proof. The Torah said to the Jews, I want you to eat seafood, but in one condition. What's the condition? That it has to be kosher. How you know in a sea what's kosher and what's not? The Torah says everything that has fins and scales, kosher. If it doesn't have fins and scales, it's not kosher. Therefore, when you buy a fish, it has fins and it has scales like salmon, you clean the scales from the skin, it's kosher. If it has a smooth body, it's not kosher. Snake in the water, it's not kosher. It doesn't have fins, it doesn't have scales. Come the oral Torah, the oral law. And the oral law is saying to us, remember, the oral Torah came together with the written Torah. Everything that we do today in religion all comes from the oral Torah. If we did not have Torah Shebe'al Peh, the oral Torah, we could not keep one mitzvah from the Torah. We would never know how to make tefillin because it's not in the written Torah how to make tefillin. There are 1,000 steps until you make kosher tefillin. None of them is written in the written Torah. You would not know how to circumcise your baby because it doesn't say how to do it in the written Torah. It just says to do it in the 8th day. That's it. But it doesn't say what to do. You would never know how to slaughter the animal, what you have to check, when the animal is kosher, when it's not kosher. None of that is written in the Torah. You will not know how to keep Shabbat because the Torah only says Shabbat is the eternal covenant between me and the nation of Israel for eternity. And it said that someone that breaks Shabbat has no share to the world to come. I'm going to cut his soul from the next world for eternity. Meaning the price that he's going to pay, it's unbearable. That's all it says. But how to keep Shabbat, it doesn't say. It doesn't say about borer, it doesn't say about riding, it doesn't say about cooking. It only says one thing, lo tevaru esh bechol moshvotichem. Do not create any fire on Shabbat. All the other 38 restrictions are all in the oral Torah. The oral Torah comes and teaches us. Everything that have scales will always have fins. Always. If somebody gives you half a fish, you go to Chinatown. You want to buy kosher fish in Chinatown. It's half a price than here. You have a party, you want to buy 300 pounds of salmon. It's $1,000 difference on the price. You want to buy it in Chinatown. But the problem in Chinatown, you have all different kinds of fish. You don't see the whole fish. It's cut. Now you see a little piece of fish. You don't see anything. You just see a part of the stomach, and you see scales on the skin. You don't see the head, you don't see the fins, you don't see the tail, nothing. You see a piece of seafood with scales on it. The Torah says you need two witnesses, scales and fins. But the fins are not here. You only see one sign, which is scales. It's kosher. Buy it, rinse it, cook it, and eat it. Why? Where is the second sign? The oral Torah promise I created the whole world. 72% of the world is water. I put billions of things living in the ocean. Species, millions of different kinds of fish. And snakes, and scorpions, and turtles, and horses. Everything you want is in the ocean. I created all of them. And I'm telling you today, everything that have scales, I put in the same body fins, guarantee. You will never ever find something with scales that does not have fins. And if you will, that's the end of Judaism. That's the end of Shabbat, that's the end of Yom Kippur, that's the end of Tefillin, that's the end of marriage, that's the end of everything. What's the connection between a piece of fish to Yom Kippur, or Shabbat, or marriage, or Tefillin? What's the connection? The answer, if there will be one mistake in a Torah, written Torah, or oral Torah that we got from God in Mount Sinai, one mistake, that means we can never ever rely on the rest of the instructions. Maybe this is the second mistake. Maybe this is also a mistake. Maybe this is also a mistake. If there is a chance that now I have to follow an instruction in the Torah and it could be a mistake, how can I change my whole life based on something that can be a mistake? In a divine book, you don't have mistakes. Only divine, perfect knowledge. Now I want you to know before we finish, I want you to know. Then the Torah was given to us, we already knew. If we ever gonna find one mistake in the Torah, we will not be able to ever rely on it. It will dismiss Judaism completely. When the Torah was given to us, even half of the fish that lives today in water in the world did not exist. Because they always create new species. Fish one and fish two, they mix together, they create something half and half. Constantly changing. Scientists are always mixing between them, creating all kinds of new things. When the Torah was given to the Jews, if the writer of the Torah was a human being, can a human being promise that he can watch 72% of the world, billions of gallons of water, all over the world, rivers, lakes, oceans, and it's 12 kilometer depth, and trillions of things are moving constantly in the ocean, and in a river, and in aquariums, and in lakes, and he can see the entire world simultaneously and write in a book, there is not even one that have scales but does not have fins. There's not even one. And if somebody will ever find one, that's the end of my book. What human being can make such a promise? The answer, none. Only the one that created the world and created the oceans and created all the fish and created all the people and controlled the future, he was the only one that can promise such a thing. Nobody else can promise such a thing. Remember, the Torah already also committed about the future. Even if there was a person that can watch the entire world and write in a book, there's not even one like that, what makes him know for sure that in 1,000 years there's not gonna be one? They always create new species. He promised this Torah will be relevant until the end of time. If one day you find mistake in my Torah, even in 1,000 years, everything is gone. Everything was for nothing. Shema Israel, Jews that die for the religion, your grandmothers that will die not to break Shabbat. All of you, without knowing them. I put my life on the line. Every one of your grandmothers in Bukhara or Uzbekistan or Azerbaijan or whatever they came from, Iraq, Iran, whatever, with a gun to the head, they will not agree one time on Shabbat to start a car or a cigarette. Why? They had simple faith in Hashem. They didn't know what we know today. What I just told you, none of them knew. They didn't know about the fish, they didn't know about the galaxies, they knew. They never watched my film, Torah and Science. Hasidish rabbis that I gave them that film, that they learned Torah all their life, they told me, you don't understand. All my life I kept everything because I believed I could never swear that everything that is 100%. I believe it was a fate. You made it so real to me. After I saw that, everything became so solid now. My whole life changed because now I know I'm not wasting a minute on my life. Everything is for a good cause and I'm earning. And I know for sure it's the word of God. Not maybe yes, maybe not. Yes.
Once we believe that there's a God, we have some instances in our life that, you know, we have doubts filled up. Evil inclination puts up certain instances in our life. What is your advice? What is something we can grab on to, you know, get rid of that doubt and go back to our belief?
Very good point. So we, with the help of this question, we conclude. I will repeat. We concluded part two. I only gave you one proof. In my film, Torah and Science, you're going to see at least 30 proofs there. Please watch it about the stars, about the moon, about the galaxies, codes in the Torah, prophecies in the Torah that you see right away that a person will never be able to write such a thing and promise such promises. Then you will know 1,000,000,000% that the Torah is divine. That, thank God, I have a book that it is from my creator, not from somebody who came from the desert that made a story. And the Torah does not have any mistakes. Quran, in 5 minutes, I show you 30 mistakes. The New Testament, watch my debate with the priest. I crushed him to pieces, 3 hours. You know, like in a boxing, 3 hours, you get one punch after the other. 17 bottles of water he drank. Count. 17. Until his assistant got up in the middle, he couldn't take the pain. And he said, enough, enough. I didn't know it's going to be like that.
He had 17 bathroom breaks? That's a lot of water.
No. He was begging me to release him.
One shot.
Until he said, in the end, my wife will kill me. I didn't know it's going to be 3 hours. But the final sentence on the debate, if you don't have time, just listen to the last 5 minutes. What did he say in the end? This is what he said. I said to him, is it possible that God would give a book and it said that the Twin Towers collapsed in Brooklyn? He said, no. I said, why not? Because God doesn't make mistakes. You agree with me? He said, yes. I say, if I would bring a book and I say I'm the messenger of God, he gave me the book, and you open the book and you see many years ago there were 2 towers in Brooklyn, in Ocean Parkway. One day an airplane hit into it, it fell, and 3,000 people died on Ocean Parkway. That's what it would say in the book. You and me would waste a minute on the book? You say, no. I say, why? Because we know it's not from God. God doesn't make such silly mistakes. I say, very good. In that case, please explain to me, how does it say in your book, Christianity, the New Testament, that the cave of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it's in the city of Shechem, when every fool knows it's in Hebron? You had to see his face. He looked at me like that. Where does it say such a thing? He said in his mind, he never saw it. He said, it cannot be such a mistake. So he was like, it cannot be. So where is it? So I'm looking in my laptop. All the things I told him, I have the source, except this one. I'm looking for the source. The source is not there. Ay, 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 I say, be yetzer hara, the Satan. There was one Christian that converted to Judaism, sitting in the audience. He say, let me help you. He was an expert in Christianity, a priest. He took his New Testament. For 20 minutes, he's looking for it. He cannot find it. Then all of a sudden, I remember that few months ago, one of my students who moved to Israel sent me a presentation about things from Christianity. So I say, it has to be there. Right away, as I'm talking to him, I opened it up. I see the source. I told him, it's on Act 7. When he looked at me like this, I say, you see, it cannot be the book of God. So what happened in the end? I say to him, I just proved to you that your book is not from God. It's full of human errors. God doesn't make such human error. He didn't say no. What did he say to me? My heart will never let me leave it. It was so good to me over the years, the religion. I said to him, but it's a lie. It's not the word of God. The Muslim also believe to explode and kill people, it's the truth. But it's a lie. Many people believe things, but it's a lie. We are not here about feelings. We are here about the truth. I just proved to you, it can never be the word of God. It cannot be. And that was the end of it. That was the end of that debate. Watch it, it's very intellectual. You will learn a lot of things about their nonsense, how they fool the world. But, he asked a very good question. Now, after we went to step three, and that's his question basically. I told you, it takes me maximum 20 minutes, I proved to you that our Torah can never be written by a human being. I have hundreds of proofs. I can keep you here until next year, the same date, with one proof after the other. And it's not an exaggeration. Until you beg me, enough, enough. We not only know that the Torah is the word of God, we know 1,000,000,000% more than we know ourselves. You will know that the Torah is the word of God greater than you know that you are Moshe Cohen or Yitzhak Levi. That's how strong you're gonna know it. The question is, what you're going to do with that? That's what he asked. What are you going to do with that? If people know that the Torah is the word of God, in that case, why religious people commit sins? Why religious people speak Lashon Hara? Why religious people sometimes dress not modest? Why religious people not always eat kosher? Why religious people not always praying? How can it be? They know it's the word of God. What, you go in a war against God? He told you not to dress like this, and every day you go against him? How can it be? He told you not to steal in a business, and every day you steal from the customer? How can it be? That's his question. The answer, he already gave the answer, the evil inclination. Yetzer hara. Hashem put evil inclination in every one of us that his job is to convince us to always go against God and the Torah. You want to dress modest? The evil inclination say, don't be fanatic. It's not Iran here. You're in New York. You're beautiful. You have nice body. Show it to Vini, to Tony, to Jose, to Muhammad. They all want to enjoy your legs when you walk in the street. And you walk like this, and everyone would say, "Shh, Yahud, beautiful, very nice." And she goes like this, "Hi, Muhammad. Hi, Chris." That's what the Yetzer Hara say. But Hashem say, "You are my daughter. How are you going to dress like you're half naked on the street? You're not embarrassed to embarrass me? I gave you the instructions how to be modest, and you dare to walk like this in the street, and everyone looks at you and think dirty things about you? Just think about this, that you are a married woman, a mother to children, and every low life around you, every animal creature is thinking about you the most despicable things every second of your life, or about your pictures in the internet. If you only heard 1 minute what all these low life thinks about you, you would kill yourself from the embarrassment. But nobody thinks. Why? We robot. That's what everyone does, let's do the same. So for the 1 minute compliment that she's gonna get from Tony and Vini, she's gonna lose eternity in the end. That's what the Torah say, but she doesn't care. Let me enjoy the moment and suffer for eternity later on. Shabbat, why Jews breaking Shabbat? Some Jews, they grew up in Siberia. They never even heard about Shabbat. What do you want from them? They're not guilty. So leave them aside. Some Jews, they have big businesses. The business make fortune on Shabbat. It's weekend. Customer come. They sell on Shabbat 5 times more than a regular day. It's very strong desire. Ma, I'm going to give up $10,000 every week. So it's very strong desire. They know the truth. They ignore it. Because like he said, we see. Now $10,000 I brought home today. If I would close the business, $10,000 less every week. I sell God for $10,000. I don't care about him. If it would be $500, I would close the business on Shabbat. For $500, I do not sell God. I don't give up on him. But for $10,000, I give up on him. Some people would not give up on God for $1,000,000. some for $1 billion, some for any amount of money. They will not give him up. Depend on the level of faith that you have. You know there is a God. You know you're not allowed to open the business on Shabbat. You know you're not allowed to create fire on Shabbat. You know he cares about it very much. You know you must put tefillin every day. You know people on the Holocaust gave their life and risked their life every day. They could have got a bullet in their head not to miss one day of tefillin. In the most horrible time in history, they never gave up tefillin. And you sit in your beautiful mansions and driving nice cars and enjoying and eating well and enjoying every second of your life, and 2 minutes a day to put tefillin and say Shema Yisrael and say thank you God that I have a brain, thank you that I have a soul, thank you that my heart is functioning. 2 minutes a day, too much for me. I don't want. So this is the situation we live in. Most of the people, they are not religious, not because they're evil. There are evil people in the world, but I'm sure none of you is in this category. Most of the people are ungrateful to God because the evil inclination, as he said before, made you totally numb. And I gave you a shot. You live in some kind of illusion world. You're not aware of what's the reality and the truth is. You live the American dream or the Israeli or the European dream. And you don't even pay 5 minutes a day attention to the purpose of life. If you watch my film, The Purpose of Life, every one of you would sit for an hour to cry after that. Goyim, non-Jews, Arabs, Christian, Chinese, when they watched it, they wrote to me emails, you don't understand what you did to me. I was crying all night. Goyim, Romanian, Romania, Goy from Romania, Goy is from Ghana. I get called on a WhatsApp, people find my number all over the world. Ghana, Uganda. Yesterday I had a woman from Uganda, half from Uganda, half from Kenya. Wants to be Jewish. Why? One lecture online, it's enough. They will leave everything to come to become Jewish. Why? When they see what God gave to the Jewish nation, they will give their life and their children. They'll give up the wife, they'll give up the husband, they'll give up the house, the business, the children. They will come all the way to America begging, help me to convert. I'll sleep on the street in a park. Just that I will be a Jew. I don't want to die like a goy.
Rabbi.
Yes.
Those people are living a very harsh life.
Who?
Those people.
No. I had a professor from Paris. He came all the way for one lecture that I gave in Brooklyn on Tuesday. He arrived Tuesday afternoon, he stayed in a lecture, he spoke to me for half an hour, took a few pictures, early in the morning he flew back. He came all the way from France to New York to hear lecture. And he have it online. I said to him, how did you do such thing? He said, I had to meet you in person, you changed my life. 5 years I listened to you around the clock. It changed everything. I was a devoted Christian, I followed this idol and the fake religion. You open up my eyes, it changed my entire life. Everything in my life you save. I cannot come all the way here to shake your hand and take a picture with you. A goy. Yeah. Unbelievable. Why? The goyim don't have the evil inclination that the Jews have. Once they see the truth, very easy for them to communicate. The same thing that the goy see, if a Jew would see, especially Israelis, they will walk out. It kills him. Why? Because this is the way Hashem made it. Because to the Jew that is obligated to keep, the reward is huge. Someone that is obligated, he has more evil inclination, more resistance. Why? Because life is a test. Everything in life is in a test. Which woman it's harder for her to dress modest? A very pretty, attractive woman or a very ugly woman? Who has a bigger desire to walk half naked on the street? Woman that have perfect look and perfect body, or woman that anyway would like to hide their ugliness? Which one of the two will have a big desire? The attractive has a lot more incentive or even inclination to show her beauty. The other woman, she understands, she wasn't blessed with beauty. I'm blessed with the brain. So if the ugly woman, she's very bright and smart, she would make a lot of noise. She would make a blog, she would write articles, she would like to show her talent. Why? This is what I was blessed with. And a woman that is extra pretty, this is her gift, so she wants to flash it to the world. So now, if a woman that is extremely pretty, she fights her evil inclination every day, and she dresses modest, and she hides the things from the street, and she's always beautiful only to her husband. She doesn't put pictures online, on the internet, on Facebook. She doesn't go to wedding naked that everyone would look at her. She doesn't live this kind of lifestyle. She's modest, she's solid, she's elegant, 100% modest, like the Queen of England. She's not religious, she's not Jewish. Did you ever see her dress provocative? She always dressed like a rabbitson. Why? I'm the Queen of England. I'm not a cheap person on the street that walks naked like an animal. I'm the Queen of England. It's nothing to do with religion. She's not religious. But I'm a lady. I'm the Queen of England. England is a very important country. It's 2,000-3,000 years old. I am the Queen. How can I dress short sleeves, short miniskirt, make myself look like a fool? Even in politics, look at even people like Hillary Clinton. They are far from religion all the way from here to Honolulu. But they dress classy. Did you ever see her coming to one of her speeches with a tight short mini, like they wear in a gym, and everything open? Why she doesn't cup like some women walks in the street to her speeches? Because everybody understand I'm a human being, I'm not an animal. Here I have to show my humanity, my dignity. Everybody understand that. One person told me, I told him, how do you dare to walk to the beach and sit with your wife naked in front of 10,000 Guidos? So he said to me, what do you mean? Everyone does this. Everyone like that. I don't see it anything special. I said to him, if you have a birthday party and your wife invites 300 of your friends, your colleagues, everyone, and she comes from the bedroom with a cake, surprise, with a bathing suit. She would come out in the living room with a bathing suit. What would you do? There was an Israeli Moroccan guy. Just from the thought, his blood came all the way up to his ears. And he told me, Ma, ani ma'if ota ma'chalon. I fly her from the window. So I say to him, you listen, you fool. Your ear should listen to your foolish mouth. You just a minute ago told me, if she wants to be naked here across the street, I'm for it. But if she's going to be naked not here, over here, I'll kill her.
What he's saying is that if everybody is doing it, then everybody is almost like, as not as embarrassed, but accepting the fact. But if my wife is going to be the outlier, and everyone is going to see her that way, then I don't want to...
Obviously, that's the answer. But let me ask you, let's think a little bit more logically. If a person is embarrassed that his wife walk like this in the living room, that means he understands that something is wrong with that. Now, what made him understand that over here it's wrong, but over here it will be fine? That's pure stupidity. No other words for it, without offending anyone. I mean...
Maybe she's not dressed for the occasion.
There's a time and a place.
She's not dressed for the occasion. It's not.
Tell me, is it allowed to steal here, but in a bank it's not allowed? But over here it's allowed. Why? Over here people not usually doing it. But over here everyone does it. You see, humanity, people made stupid rules to make life easy. But the truth is, we don't care about what we think and about our opinion. Not my opinion, not your opinion, not anyone's opinion. There's only one opinion that counts. It's the opinion of the creator of the world, and he told us his opinion in his book. Now, I want to finish. The answer to your question about the evil inclination is, we have to fight the evil inclination. The Torah says, the more you learn Torah, the more you listen to lectures, I brought you also audio, you can listen in a car, it will make you very strong. You listen to one lecture, you will see already a tremendous improvement in your spirituality. Two more, three more. The more you listen, the easier it gets to become more religious. You will wait all week for Shabbat. Thousands of people, Baruch Hashem, I was able to make them Shomrei Shabbat, tens of thousands. I don't remember once that one person regretted. I don't remember even once. It should have happened once or twice, no? But I never saw once. Everybody told me, all week I'm waiting for Shabbat. They all gave up business. Some of them movie stars, some of them Israeli famous soccer players, they left the league. Even now, the NBA star from the Sacramento King, Kaspi, the Israeli Omri Kaspi, has already become Shomer Shabbat, is in touch with me every day. People from the government, people from the Knesset, the right-hand man of Ehud Olmert, the prime minister, she came to my lecture in Jerusalem. She said, your CD saved my life in the hardest moment in my career. That's what I was hanging to, in front of almost 1,000 people in a big lecture. It changed the life of very smart people, very successful people. It will change also your life. But you have to agree that that's what you really want. You don't want, if you want to live in a lie, I'm not going to be able to change you. If you say, okay, Rabbi, you know, I'm willing to cooperate. Let me take your CDs and listen. Let me see what you have to offer. Let me see what the Torah say. The more you listen, the more easy it's going to be. You can go on my app, Divine Information 2.0. All the lecture comes to your phone for free. You can go on my Facebook pages. You have about 180,000 followers. Join them. Every hour we post videos and articles about life, about marriage, about raising children, about drugs addiction, about all kinds of things, about the current event, about the world. I promise you, that you connect to the Torah, your life is going to be a million times more blessed. You're going to thank me not only for the rest of your life, for the rest of your eternity. But you have to know one thing, that's the truth. And I'm not in it right now. I'm here. I have to get myself into the truth. And the only way to do it is to begin connecting daily to Torah. After that, I don't have to do anything with you anymore. You will already get to the right place. If you will accept here tonight, every one of you, male and female, to dedicate an hour a day from your time, when you're in the car, when you're in the house, with your headphones, with your laptop, with your phone, on the road, in the subway, anywhere you're gonna be, to start listening to the CDs I'm giving you now, especially start with CD number one, I give you a personal guarantee that in 3 weeks from now, not one of you here in this room will stay the same like today. All of you will have a huge, huge improvement in your spiritual life and much more happiness, better marriage, better healthy situation, less depression, less sadness, more blessing in your life, blessing in your children, blessing with your entire family. I promise you, 22 years I do it. I'm not gonna sell you stories. I want you to only understand that right now you don't live according to the expectation of your Creator from you. He puts you here for a reason. He gives you oxygen for a reason. Is expecting from you, please do not let him down, because if you let him down, you're actually going against yourself. The Torah say, I don't need anything from you. I'm perfect before you, I'm perfect after you. I am the God before I created the world. I am the God after this world. If you do anything, you cannot improve me, you cannot disprove me, you cannot help me, you cannot unhelp me. I'm perfect with or without you. This is all clear verses. Every one of the rules I gave you is 100% for your own good. You're not doing me a favor. I told you keep Shabbat for your own good. It's the eternal covenant that will give you life of eternity when you leave this world. It will make your family life over here much better. It will relax you from the tension and the pressure of this horrible life. Pressure, business, IRS, accounting, subway, traffic, enemies, court, news, terrorism. One day, relax. There's one city in the world, almost nobody there gets heart attack. That's the city with less heart attacks from all over the world. Which city? Bnei Brak. Why? 98% of the people in Bnei Brak are Shomer Shabbat and learning Torah daily. Almost no heart attacks. There are a lot of poor people there. Very poor, living in one bedroom apartment with 9 children. They don't have the businesses you have. They don't drive the car you have. They did not grow up in nice houses around here in Forest Hills. They have the most simple life a person can have. And they're a million times happier than any one of you. I know, I have a yeshiva in Yerushalayim. I have these guys in my yeshiva that makes $500 a month. And from that they live. They cannot afford a slice of mozzarella cheese a month. That's how their life is. A little bit eggs, cheese, the cheapest one, bread, rye bread, of course. Nobody ever know what bagel is or croissant, forget about it. The life is the most simple one. They don't have cars, they cannot even afford buses. One day you spend with them, you see what real happiness is. And you will ask yourself, what's going on here? My father bought me a business, he put me in business, I drive a nice car, I have a $20,000 watch, I dress nice, and I'm not happy. And this guy has nothing, and he's so happy. What's going on here? The answer, his soul get the daily food. Your soul doesn't get the daily food. The body needs food, the soul needs food. If the soul doesn't get food, the soul dies. If the soul dies, we'll never be happy. That's why half of America is on Prozac and other anti-depression pills. And anxiety attack, and panic attack, and sadness, and depression, and fights in the house, and fights at work. Why? No Torah. I really, really beg each one of you and encourage you, please do not ignore the advice I give you. If I spoke to you a little bit too hard, it's out of love. I didn't come here, of course, to put anyone down. I don't know anyone personally here. I don't know who keeps Shabbat, who doesn't keep Shabbat, who is modest, who is not modest, who eats kosher. I really don't know. I didn't get a daily name report. I talk in general. Everybody here knows who he is. You know if you shomer Shabbat or not. You know if you live honestly or not. You know, a person knows himself. Give yourself a chance. Listen, watch this film, The Purpose of Life. Watch the film, Torah and Science. Watch the film, Life After Death. Don't you want to know where we go when we die? Don't you want to see when millions of people that died and came back to life, how they tell you what happened to their soul, and then you see that it's 100% in the Talmud from 2,000 years ago? Or in the Zohar? Don't you want to see that our Torah actually knew everything? 2,000, 3,000 years before science? If you watch my lectures online, there's a lot of lectures for beginners in my website. When you go on my website, there's a section for beginners. Listen to them. It will explain to you what life is all about. People that do not know their purpose, they can never succeed. If you're not educated, if you are ignorant, you can never perform the job. If somebody tells you, you're going to make $1 million at this job, and if not, you're going to go to jail. Goodbye. Wait, tell me what the job is. No. How can you be successful? If you don't know what the job is, the boss only told you, you're going to do what you have to do at work, $1 million a year. You won't do it, I send you to the FBI and you go to prison. Okay, fine, I agree. But can you tell me what the job is? No. But if the boss says, of course, I'll tell you what the job is. Come tomorrow morning to the course. Learn. Every day you come, an hour or two, I'll teach you the job. And you don't show up. Are you a criminal, yes or no? Either you are a criminal or you're a fool. One of the two, you choose. If somebody offers you $1 million a year and you have to come an hour a day to learn what the job is and you refuse to come, how would you name yourself? So this is exactly what I'm telling you. Don't let the evil inclination tell you right now, don't listen to him, he's strict, he's fanatic, he's crazy, the religion doesn't have to be like that, you can just be a good person, it's okay, it doesn't matter, Hashem loves everyone, it's enough you're a Jew, I give her a charity here and there. No, don't fool yourself, because it's not true. I promise you, if I say something, it's not 100% true, it's 1,000,000,000% true. I never say a word unless if it's written in the Torah. And if the Torah says Mechalel Shabbat Mot Yuma 12 times and it describes in the Talmud what's the end of Mechalel Shabbat, I'm here tonight, not for money, I don't get paid to come here, nobody pays me for CD, I give them for free. And believe me, I have many things to do in my life, and this is my second lecture for the night, and both of them are for free, and 5,000 lectures were for free. And I come from Monsi, I don't live across the street. I drive 2 hours to get here, and every night is like this, for 22 years. There's only one reason I'm here. Because I know that if I will educate you a little bit with what life is about, I will save you. But you have to give it a chance. The doctor wants to save the patients, but he doesn't want to come to get treated. How is he going to get saved? Any questions before we go? Everyone is in shock. Beautiful. Mission achieved. Take CDs. Thank you very much for having us here. It's beautiful. Any question you have, you can always email me, rabbimizrahi@gmail.com. Please take the CDs. Don't leave without CDs. Take for your friends. Take for your parents. Take for your brothers. Take for everyone you can. And any question you have, you can ask me in person. Thank you very much. Baruch Adonai Leolam. Amen. Amen.